Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, June 19th, 2022. Happy Father's Day. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Our message is entitled, What Type of Dad Are You? Our text comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. And now here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, this is Father's Day, and I preached I don't know how many messages on Father's Day, and I couldn't come up with anything new. And I thought, well, if I do a rerun, you probably will remember. But you don't even remember what I spoke about last Sunday. So I'm pretty safe that you won't remember anything. That actually, this is brand new. But there is a concept here. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. I just want to read that to you. And that will be the way that we will tee off today. It's a promise from the Old Testament to God's people. And it says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Why don't we read that together? Just one verse. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. May God bless the reading of his word. Interesting to note, the concept of father and fatherhood is very important in the Bible throughout the entire Old Testament, New Testament. Just some data on the New Testament. In the book of Matthew, the word father is mentioned 72 times. In Mark, 18 times. In Luke, 49 times. And John, 113 times. And, you know, when you look at the Gospels, you realize that the Gospels, the Gospel of Matthew, was written to the Jewish people specifically. And so the concept of father was ingrained in their lives. Mark was written to the Greeks. Different kind of people. And that was 18 times. Luke, it's an important one. Mark was written to the Romans. And then Luke was written to the Greeks. And John was written for the church. So for the church, 113 times, the concept of father and fatherhood abides. But our text is important because there's a promise that comes from the Old Testament to you and to me. And there are many other texts, as you can see, that we could derive the concept of father, God being our father. But I like this one because it says, I will be a father. I will be a father to you and your sons and daughters. And the God wants to be our father, and he is our father. And father is sometimes misunderstood as what it means. And it is amazing, and I've discovered through the years of ministry in the church and elsewhere at school, at the university as well, that almost every emotional problem, almost, on men, can be traced back to an emotional wound caused by his father. I want you to know that fathers have an incredible impact in the life of children. And sometimes fathers forget the impact and the responsibility of just being fathers. We always leave it to to mother? And lately we leave it to Facebook. This is horrible because we're destroying lives. The key, of course, is looking at your childhood and understanding your childhood. And I mean, I look at my childhood all the time, and a lot of things happen that I wish our dads had not done. But the fact is, you are where you are, and you had the dad that you had, and you can't change that. How many know that? You can't change it. Some things, you know, you can't change in life. We call them in theology the sovereign acts of God. God acts without asking you anything. He doesn't ask for permission and say, okay, who would you like your dad to be? It doesn't work that way. God in his wisdom knows who your dad was and is and who you are and who you will be. And God's got that under control, gives us a set of values and places us in this earth, and then we need to work at it. So it's a lot of things that our dad have done that I wish he had not done. But this is the point, important. We can look at our past and look at our father and see that they have affected us negatively. And yet at the same time, we need to think through and ask ourselves, How am I relating to my children? How am I relating to those who God has entrusted for the upbringing? So regardless of the father that you might have had, there are five types of fathers that we can choose to become. Now, I understand there's only eight fathers here, but let me just tell you, there are future fathers here. And let me just tell you, mothers, you need to listen to this too, because sometimes mothers have to be fathers too. And there's a lot of problems today in our society that there is an abandonment of fathers, and mothers have to make up the slack. And I congratulate mothers who have done double duty, and they've done a wonderful job. And I appreciate the fact, I appreciate the fact that you have a sense of responsibility to do what is right. I don't want to get personal, so I'm going to move on. But all of us have had issues that we look back and say, I wish my father had not done this or the other. But there are no such thing as a perfect father except our Lord in heaven. So you got to give your father a little bit of slack here and then look at your own self and understand that there are some deficiencies here. But those deficiencies can be made up when you and I grow close to God and say, Lord, help me to be the right type of father. So let's look at the five different types of fathers, and we're going to end this service soon because I'm going to eat after this service. We're going to feast at the house. So first of all, there are some dads that can be very well illustrated as being POWs, prisoner of war dad. This dad is one that is present with his children in life, but is never really engaged with them. He's not just disengaged, but sometimes you could see that they're enraged with them. Children look at them, and children always seem to see him as being angry. And because of that anger, he hurts others. He hurts them with his words, with his tone, with his action. I've seen this often. Fathers that have such an attitude that the family walks on the proverbial, eggshells around him because they don't know if he's going to snap into something. I've seen this up and close. They may be fathers, but are they really fathers? They're really prisoners of war. They don't want to have that child. They don't care for that child. They wish they had not had the child, but they're stuck with that child. And so they're angry all the time. And there's an angry guy inside, and family is afraid that at any given moment, he may spring up and destroy things around him. I cannot begin to tell you how many people have had a POW as a father. Then there's the MIAs, Mission in Action. I know a lot of Mission in Action dads. This is people who choose to be absent, not to be present with his children's lives. Maybe they kind of help bring them into the world, I guess. I can't say that from the pulpit, but anyway, brought them into the world, but they don't want to have anything to do with them, so they're missing in action. He's not engaged with children. He may not even know he has children. There's a lot of that going on around. Promiscuity is there. And today, with no sexual codes, behaviors, children are born without a father, sort of like. And those children have no father that they can count on. His dad is missing in action. I remember one person coming to me and saying, I don't even know who my dad is. I said, well, I can point to someone who can be and wants to be your dad, and that's the Lord. Yeah, I know, it's hard to get. But it's this mission in action. Dads are very prevalent in our society. And they're prevalent because We have lost our values, our moral values. And instead of thinking about a family, instead of thinking about the meaning of, responsible meaning of being a father, we just procreate and leave children behind. In certain communities, which I will not mention from the pulpit, they train their children, their girls, to have children so that they can get a check from the state. And those children are born and they receive money, but there's no father around. And then we wonder why we have so many problems in society. There's a lot of MIA dads around. And I pray that if that's the case, if that's who you are, you were raised without the influence of your father. And if you don't even know who your father is, I want you to know Jesus Christ knows all about you. And he loves you. The Lord loves you. And you're not an accident. God has no accidents. You're here for a purpose and for a reason. Nobody's here because of an accident. Nobody's here because, oops, no, you're here because God wanted you. And God wanted you to be significant in his kingdom. And you need to think through and say, the Lord has a purpose for my life. None of us are here without a purpose or a design. It doesn't matter what happened. God loves you. And as the scripture says, I will be your father. And you tune in with the Lord. And though those issues that are in this world and those social components of being in a family are very important, yet when you turn your life to God, God will give you a brand new family. He will give you brothers and sisters. He will give you a place where you can flourish and be a child of God and contribute to society, and you'll feel fulfilled in life. But today, we have a lot of MIA dads, mission in action. Well, there's another one. I'm sure you're following what I'm doing here. So, we have some AWOL fathers, absent without leave. Physically present, maybe, at the home, but emotionally absent. You know, he's not there. Even when you see him, he's there, but he's not there. Well, maybe it's a few of you right now in church. Okay. But you have to understand that there's some people who have the ability to be present and yet not engaged. Even when the children want to talk to them, too much of a bother to listen to the children. And you want to listen to your dad. You want your dad to hear you, that is to say. And they can speak, but they're not necessarily bad people or bad dads, but they're emotionally detached. So there's a struggle in silence as those he loves suffer and struggle in his absence. I think all of us have seen this prototype of dad, rigid, you know, not a smile, you know, not a compliment, very stern, and there he is, he's your dad. Hello, dad. No emotion, no connection, and you grow up in a home like that. You grow up in an environment where your dad is not emotionally connected with you, and that hurts a lot. But it happens. AWOL dads are there, and they're not paying attention, and they're rigid and difficult. Well, there's two more that I want to mention, and then we're going to just go home. Yeah, I can, because it's 11:59, and I can cut this close. And this is a fourth class of dads. It's called reserve duty dad. Reserve duty dad is a dad that treats fatherhood as a part-time job. Occasionally, you engage your children. Occasionally, you show up. And sometimes when there's a divorce and there's a breaking of the family, weekend dad of sorts. but it's mostly done for convenience sake. Whatever reasons, marriage didn't work, fighting, they get separated, and the children are in the middle of it all. And children have then a reserve duty dad, which is hard and harsh and difficult. But children require much more time than a part-time dad can give. Children need a full-time mother and a full-time dad. And some people choose this. I know I'm addressing issues that are close to you and close to the ills of society, and you wish I would speak about something completely different, but I need you to know that reserve duty dads are not the optional. They're not the way it should be. No. Part-time, no. Children need a full-time dad. You've got to have that all the time. So, mission in action dads and AWOL dads and POW dads, reserve duty dads, those are not good symptoms. Those are not good styles. That is not the way to raise a family. And some of you might have had just that. And you look at your own life and you're replicating what happened to you when you were a child. And that's how you grew up, and that's how you're moving about in your life, and you're distorting the purpose that God has for fatherhood. To love and to cherish and to care of, to bring up a child in the ways of the Lord, and to be there for him, for her, to be a dad 24/7. All right, so you married someone you no longer like. Tough, you're still there for your children. And you love your children. And you show your children that sometimes things don't work out right, but they're not responsible for that. Well, one more. Yeah, it's 12, so I can quit. So, one more. And that's the active duty dad. Also known as all-pro dad. A father who is not perfect, because there's no such thing as a perfect father except the Lord. But he is consistently an emotionally present dad, where you are there. No matter what, you're there. You're there. Not a perfect dad, but you're there. Okay, let me make it a little bit personal. I thought maybe you know that. You may or may not know this, but I dislike with a passion sports. I'm one of those that don't like sports. No matter what sport, you know, that's why purposely sometimes I say I like the way that the Angels play football to show you my ignorance, but I know exactly what I'm saying. I just don't care for games. And when our children were growing up, you know, the guy that played the guitar here loved sports. He still loves sports. He plays hockey every week. And he's got a bunch of trophies in my office. He gave them all to me. And I don't know who it was that showed up the other day. Oh, his sister that came and was dusting things and said, oh, look at all the trophies, you know. Sister Morotai Loco. Oh, he plays hockey. Then he looked at Clay and says, Jeffrey. Anyway. But I would do every single game and sat there. And I did not enjoy one single moment, except I knew he was there. He knew. And he lost every game. And he told me, Dad, don't come. You're jinxing it. When they were smaller, I was very busy with the church. We had three services going on, all kinds of things back in the early 80s. And they were growing up. And it was open house at the school. And I had things to do here, but it was open house. And so I was gently reminded by somebody who is here in this church right now that I had a responsibility of sorts. And so I hustled, I went there, and all I saw was the drawings that they had made. And remember, Jennifer's so happy to show the drawing she was making. And I looked at that and I said, what is this? She got to tell me what drawing it was because I could not tell what it was. And then all of a sudden, it dawned on me as a developing father that this was important to them and that I need to be there. I had other things I could do, but I went there. I believed I did that every time there was an open house. I kind of took some pills and something, whatever. I went there and asked God for discernment to see what in the world I was looking at, but it was important to them. And if it was important to them, it has to be important to me. So we joke about that all the time with Jeff. I say, yeah, you lost a whole streak, whole year you lost football, whole season. And he blames me 100%, but I was there. And then one moment there was the need for someone to go out there and measure the yards with a chain. I don't know what it was. And so they asked for parents to come down. And I said, I'll go help them. And I went down into the show. He couldn't believe that I was doing something crazy like that. I did not know what in the world I was doing. Except I know Jeff was there. Look, I'm no perfect father. I got my issues. All of us have some things that we do wrong. But we have to be available. We have to be there for them. Because in many ways, we fathers model the Lord. Some people have said to me, God, my father? If he's anything like the father I had, I don't want to have anything to do with him. You and I need to be actively engaged. We need to be attentive. We need to be available. We need to be accessible to our children. You have to be there to win their hearts. Yeah, win their hearts. You got to win their hearts. They're not your hearts until you win them. You have to win their hearts. You have to learn and love them, winning their heart. It is so difficult, even if you have to struggle to do it. And let me just tell you, Jeff was a struggle. So was Jennifer. So is my wife. We're all struggling. We're all human beings. We all got our issues. We all have issues. It's not just a gift here. Here's your son. Here's your daughter. It's a piece of cake. It's not. It's not. And I don't understand why one grows one way, the other one grows the other way when they have the same parents and they eat the same food. Children are different, one from the other. I really believe that you and I need to ask the Lord to help us, that we will be active duty fathers, that we would take the time to listen to them, because there's going to come a time when you will not be able to reach them. They will grow up, and somebody else has their attention, and somebody else has them in the palm of their hands, which is not necessarily where you want them to be. You got to struggle to do it, but you have to love them. You have to protect them. You have to tell children, say no, but much more than just simply say no to drugs and say no to all the stuff that goes on in high school today. You have to serve them, and you need to provide them for their physical and for their emotional and spiritual needs. You need to have times when you show them how life is to be lived. You have to communicate. You have to talk to them. They cannot be house guests. They cannot be anything but your children. You need to have an investment in their lives and engage them in conversations and speak to them and talk to them. Show them that they should not be drinking so much soda because it's going to affect them physically. Tell them to be careful with the emotional area of their lives because, let me tell you, we're living in an era where the government is after your children, the state is after your children, and want to program your children to be something that you never intended for them to be. They're your children. You need to stand up for them and defend them. You don't want them to get caught emotionally. I was watching a series on TV, which I've always liked. And all of a sudden, this little child, 9 years old, says to his mother, "Mother, I think I am," and mentioned a sex attribute. And this person said, "Oh, yeah, that's wonderful. How courageous you are to say that you are who you think you are," when a 10-year-old child, a 9-year-old child, doesn't even know the geography of his own country, let alone to understand the deep emotional issues that are constructed by time and guidance of their parents. You know, when God created you, God created you, he made you male and female. Nothing in between. Sorry. Probably going to get thrown off from Facebook because of what I'm saying. You'd be amazed what this artificial intelligence is listening to everything I'm saying. And if there's anything they don't like, they blitter it up. They've already done that to me a couple of times. Not because I've said anything wrong, but because my diction sometimes is not perfect. And they think I'm saying something that I'm not saying. But that's another story altogether. I have a lot of fun with diction. You know, with diction, I am the revenge of the American missionary. The American missionary goes to Latin America and they say that they need to repent because of all their sins. And instead of saying pecados, they say pescados. If you don't know Spanish, you lucked out. So I do some of those things. But let me just say this much. You need to influence your children and tell them, "You're a boy, you're a girl." Who else can certify that except you as a father? Years from now, they want to do something else. Let it not happen under your tutelage. Because you are a father, as a Christian father, you guide your children in the right things. Well, you love, you protect, you serve, you provide physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. When was the last time that you prayed with your children, with your son, with your daughter? When was the last time that you opened the Bible and read God's word to him, to her? How are you providing spiritual life for them? Are you afraid to affirm your love for your children? Are you afraid to say, "I love you"? And especially when they're going through a crisis in their lives? Or do you say, "Go see your mother"? Or do you say, "Here, watch this on Facebook" or whatever? Do you delegate your responsibilities, or do you confront them and speak the truth so that they can feel emotionally secure? They can feel spiritually secure. We all go through small moments in our life as we grow up, and they're key moments, they're pivotal moments in our lives, that if we're not there to say the right word, your child can take a turn. You must be there like a hawk over your children, loving your children, caring for your children, giving them the time that they need. Fathers, children need you. Stop delegating responsibilities to your wife. They have a lot of responsibility. I'm not in any way absolving them this morning, but I'm pressing that fathers need to be present with their children. And they need to be an influence of force and direction. Listen to your father. Remember the cartoon? Oh, good grief. I'm dating myself so much. It was a cartoon or was it a series? I don't remember. I think one of the two. It was "Wait Till Your Father Gets Home." Thank you. Some of you remember that back in the 1929, you know. Well, 29, the TV wasn't invented, so it can't be that. But "Wait Till Your Father Gets Home." And the idea was, when dad gets home, he's going to spank you. Well, there are different types of dads this morning, and we've mentioned five. There's others, but this is enough. And when we grew up, we were influenced by a father. I was influenced by a father. He was Italian, and he had a quick flair temper. And I kind of walked in eggshells around him because I didn't know how. But that was his culture. He meant well, but it was hard to speak to him. Some of you knew my dad. So there was a distance, but it was a kind and understood distance because of the culture. I never heard him say a bad word. I saw him mad, and I would run to my bedroom and hide. But it usually was a fight between him and my mother, and my mother could box very well. She knew my mother. She was tough turkey. So they made a good match. They did good. But I never saw him speak profanity. I never saw him stealing. I never saw him doing anything wrong intentionally. He had his issues. He had his faults. I remember one day he says, "So you're gonna what are you gonna do with your life?" Because that's how he was. "What are you gonna do with your life?" "I don't know. I mean, if I were to ask you, young man, what are you gonna do with your life? Excuse me for being so direct. You don't need to answer me, but don't put me in the spot." Well, here's your dad saying, "What are you gonna do when you grow up?" All of a sudden, I was 13 and I was growing up. And it was in another country. I didn't know what I was going to do. And so then he gave me the plan for my life, which I detested. You know, he wanted me to have a profession, and he also wanted me to have some sort of a practical thing. Yeah, I could be a doctor if I wanted to, but I also needed to know how to fix cars. Because it says, you will always have cars to fix. I said, "Well, I always have sick people to kill." "Yeah," he says, "but that doesn't work well." It was the idea that you had to have a profession and some sort of a trade. That was his upbringing. I didn't listen to him. I heard him, but I said, "I'm going to do what I want to do." And he gave me room to make up my mind, but he offered direction as to where I should go. Yeah. The last time I saw my dad, he was dying of cancer. He was in his home. I remember I see the image right now as I speak to you. My mother was next to him, sitting in a chair, and the bed was there. And he had brain cancer, and it had eaten him up. He was just ready to leave the world. He actually did within 2 weeks after that. And I had to go to Argentina for business that I needed to take care of. And I remember his last act. First time he ever did this in my life. He sat there and said, "Let me pray for you." He had never audibly prayed for me. And my mother was with him, and he raised his hand, and he prayed that God would take me and bring me back safely, and that I would serve him all the days of my life. And then I left. And within 2 weeks, I received a phone call that he had passed and gone to be with the Lord. I don't have bad memories of him. He had a temper, but, you know, no perfect dad. Not with me, but he was who he was. Italian blood running through. Have you ever seen Italians? Even when they're sitting, talking peacefully, they're all over the place. If you don't believe me, talk to Marta. Okay. Of course, she is an extreme of Italians because she's from Calabrese. And she has Turkish blood. So you put those two together. And we pray for her husband all the time. But look, regardless of the type of dad you had as you and I were growing up, whether he was a POW or a MIA or an AWOL or reserve duty, whatever. I know. Whatever it was, you can change that around and you can ask the Lord to help you to be the right type of dad. So if I were to ask you, what type of dad are you? How would you respond? And how important it is for you and me to ask the Lord to be our Heavenly Father. So it says, "I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters." And by the way, he is an active dad. And guess what else? He's a perfect dad. And guess what else? He has a plan for you. Never to deceive you, never to misguide you, never to lie to you. He will tell you the truth. And the truth is that I love you with an everlasting love. And he sees the issues in your life. He sees the difficulties. And he still says, "I love you." And the Bible says that when your father loves you, he will discipline you. He will take you at times and will show you what you've done wrong. And he will correct your way. But he loves you with an everlasting love. How many have a Heavenly Father? Eh? He is our Father. Lord, we thank you for the influence that we have had in our children, but even more, Lord, the influence you have in our lives. I pray, Lord, that today we will all embrace, that we will all ask that your Heavenly Father's virtues and strength be imparted to us. I pray that you would give us more of you, that we would love our children, and that we would do everything we can to be the best version of a dad, and that we would serve our children as a blueprint of what a real dad should be. Lord, that anything else that goes on in our lives that is not agreeable to you, redeem us, Lord, strengthen us, Lord, and give us a resolve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? Well, that wasn't too bad, was it? Could have done more. Could have done more.
Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all that I do. I honor you. Amazing love, die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do.
Can you lift those hands and say it that way?
You are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love. King would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do.
Anybody has special needs, just raise your hand that we'll pray for you. We have one need that came through the internet, praying for Dan Flores, healing for his body. The others that are in need of the Lord's touch upon them, we pray the Lord will do that. Anybody, just lift your hand and we'll pray together. Lord, I pray for Dan Flores and for every hand that has been lifted. You know the needs and the concerns. Lord, we worshiped you. We prayed, Lord. We've sang together. We heard your word. And now we come to you with our needs, Lord, that you would just touch Dan, Lord, and bring healing to his body. We pray for anyone who is ill right now that you would bring healing. We pray that you would strengthen us emotionally and physically, spiritually, Lord. Father, touch every dad that can hear our voice. Bless him, strengthen him, give him the desires of his heart. Allow him to be a true father, seeking to be the image of you, our Heavenly Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord, and amen, and amen. Well, this is Father's Day. you beat me to the punch. This is Father's Day. It's the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice in Father's Day. Let's do it together. This is the day the Lord has made. we will rejoice and be glad in it. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. You are dismissed this Sunday morning.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to see the whole service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can visit our website at www.bb4square.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.